This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. The world is always changing. That goes for both nature and the human-built world around us. And in St. Louis, which is an old city, buildings have a certain way of showing the challenges of the past and present. That includes vacancy and disinvestment. But St. Louis's structures also show us stories of renewal, even structures that have been empty for decades, crumbling inside and outside, can be saved and enhanced. Each year, the Landmarks Association of St. Louis recognizes those most enhanced projects from the past year. And joining us now to talk about the awards and homes, music venues, and businesses most recently honored, we have Stuart Keating, the Executive Director of the Landmarks Association of St. Louis. Stuart, welcome.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So let's start with the word enhanced. What does that mean?
So enhanced is part of our mission. At Landmarks, our mission is to preserve, enhance, and promote St. Louis's architectural legacy and to encourage strong civic planning. And for us, enhanced can be anything from preserving a building exactly as it was to a wildly inventive adaptive reuse. Mm-hmm. We understand that buildings don't stand still. Nothing stands still. So buildings change over time. Human uses of buildings change over time. And we really want to celebrate developments and rehabs where we are taking buildings that have a lot of historic value, a lot of historic aesthetic value especially, and restoring them to be part of our community fabric in a way that befits modern use.
Mm-hmm. Has enhanced always sort of been part of the way that Landmarks Association of St. Louis sort of looks at the world around it?
So we have been around for almost 70 years, right around 65, 66 years. And we've been doing the Most Enhanced Awards for 31 years. This was our 31st Most Enhanced. And so originally we started as a community organization dedicated to protecting Soulard, to preventing, they wanted to push a federal interstate highway right through Soulard. So we're the reason Soulard still exists. You're welcome. And we sort of morphed out of a neighborhood advocacy group into this broader advocacy group right around focusing on issues of urban renewal and clearance and blight and fighting to preserve the traditional character of St. Louis neighborhoods, because St. Louis neighborhoods are like our built environment, form the backdrop for our lives and shape our culture, and our culture shapes our built environment. Mm-hmm. So at some point we really wanted to focus on, once we had figured out which buildings we wanted to save, which buildings needed saving, we wanted to focus on restoring buildings and celebrating people that are preserving buildings.
Mm-hmm. This is your first year in this executive director position, Stuart. What was it like to tackle, you know, this category of awards in your first year, and also, you know, against the backdrop of a very difficult year after the May 16th tornado, you know, ruined so much of the built environment that is part of the culture of St. Louis.
Right. So this is my fourth month on the job.
Congrats.
Thank you. And I actually just found out via email that we are a consulting party on FEMA's debris removal, which is exciting. And I had no idea because they're very slow in their email chains, and they emailed me. And I was like, okay, that's great. We'll do this. So it's been really interesting tackling the tornado cleanup and tornado resolution is just a really big ball of wax. There are so many complex issues, and they all come out of generations of structural racism and strategic disinvestment in North St. Louis. And the tornado is really laying bare the many different crises in homeownership, neighborhood life, and civic participation in North St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in the introduction, we mentioned, you know, stories of renewal,
right,
and also, you know, of that disinvestment over time. So to me, I think there is a sense of hope to be taken from how long Most Enhanced has been part of what Landmarks Association has been doing, and sort of a way to think about how we can improve things in the future. We want to open the phone lines to you and invite you to this conversation. Are there some buildings in the St. Louis area that would be on your personal most enhanced list? Is there a project or building that you believe deserves some recognition? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send us an email at talk@stlpr.org. So let's get into the awardees for this past year and begin with civic institutions.
Right.
One of the ones that we've talked about that maybe people might not think of as a civic institution is Uncle Bill's, that closed in October 2024 after its 80-year-old owner retired. So tell us about what has happened with that space.
Right. So Uncle Bill's is a civic institution. I classify a civic institution as anywhere where multiple generations have made memories. And so Garcia Properties purchased Uncle Bill's after it closed in 2024, and they did a painstaking renovation. They modernized the inside of the building, but they did what they could to maintain the interior and exterior finishes. So if you go visit the new and improved, quote-unquote, Uncle Bill's Pancake House, it looks very similar to what the old Uncle Bill's Pancake House looked like, except significantly cleaner and easier to keep clean. They took up the carpet. The history of Uncle Bill's is fascinating. It actually started, the reason that it's kind of a unique building, it's got that sort of English country house style, was actually built by a man named Bill Medert, who also did the Cheshire over on...
What it reminds me of. Yeah.
So he was on a honeymoon in the late 1920s, discovered the California roadside hamburger, and he and his Hollywood starlet wife decided to open up a hamburger shack. Like, it wasn't even a full building, just like a hamburger shack at Clayton and Skinker. And they ended up with a hamburger empire. There were labor strikes, also fire bombings, all sorts of stuff. And he ended up building the Cheshire, and he ended up building Bill Medert's old log cabin hamburger stand on Kings Highway, which eventually became Uncle Bill's Pancake House.
Mm-hmm. Do you have memories from there?
The ones that happened before 2 a.m., yes. The ones that happened after 2 a.m., no.
Not many people remember those. Another one is Powell Hall,
right,
which is just down the street from where we're sitting in Grand Center. And that one closed in 2023, reopened in late 2025. What is the notable thing here about Powell Hall and Landmarks Association's role in what it is right now?
So Powell Hall is an interesting one. So they, when you have something like, I joked during the presentation that the before photos they sent in were probably the best before photos we had ever seen in any submission, because the building was gorgeous on the inside. But something that I think is really interesting and part of what we celebrate isn't just a rehab, but it's also adaptive reuse. And so they've done a phenomenal job of modernizing the institution, of making things easier for musicians, easier for the symphony going public, and turning it into much more of a music center. And then when you look at the detailing on the inside, especially in the spaces like the foyer and the symphony hall itself, they went to great lengths to redo the original lighting, to restitch fabrics, match things as best they could. And so it's this amazing thing where you walk in and it's like going from CRT, like old cathode ray tube television, to high definition television. Just everything looks cleaner, brighter, but it is still recognizably the same space. And I think that's tremendous. The amount of work and thought and effort that went into that is something worth celebrating.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a very quick break here, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation about some of the best, most enhanced buildings in the St. Louis region. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation about the 2025 honorees of Landmarks Association of St. Louis's awards for most enhanced buildings. We're talking with Landmarks Association Executive Director Stuart Keating. Now, before the break, we were talking about a couple of the winners of the most enhanced awards. There's a lot more to this list than major institutions. And I'd like to introduce another voice to this conversation. Max Bemberg is an architect project in St. Louis, and two of his projects appear on the 2025 Landmarks Association of St. Louis's Most Enhanced List. A mouthful there. Max, you don't have to say that, but welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So there are homes, and the McCree House is a single family home in the mm-hmm. Tiffany neighborhood. It's a very classic kind of St. Louis home mm-hmm. with a shotgun style layout. How did you get started on that project, Max?
Sure. It was a very, very fun project to get started with, actually with friends. So, like you said, I'm an architect with my own practice here in St. Louis, Bemberg Architecture, and my friend Maggie lives next door to this house. And on the opposite side, the house, her other neighbor was renovated a couple of years ago. Actually, it was a new home, and it was an out-of-town developer who got it, and short-term rental, lots of issues. And so I think she always longed for, hey, I would love to have a good neighbor and, you know, have a hand in restoring this home next to hers. And it came up for sale and was kind of out of reach for her to do on her own. And so Maggie and myself and another friend, we all went to architecture school together at WashU. We all kind of pooled our knowledge and our resources and came together to restore this pretty modest but charming worker's cottage. And using other financial incentives like state and federal tax credits, we were able to kind of make the project work out.
Mm-hmm. Now, you are also the landlord of this house, so
correct.
There are tenants who are living there.
Yes.
I point that out because there are landlords who have buildings people are not residing in.
Mm-hmm.
Being both an architect and a landlord, you know, does that make a project like the one that you've just described somehow, you know, a little more complicated or complex?
I don't think so. I think really for us, being from St. Louis, you know, I grew up in the Dogtown area. My wife, who's also a partner on the project, she grew up in Carondelet neighborhood. For us, we want to be good stewards of the city. And I think there are a lot of stories where there's landlords who are either absent or out of town or, you know, don't maintain their properties. I think for us, as both designers and architects, and in this instance, landlords and developers, we want to be responsible. We want to be there for both our residents who are people of our community who are living there, and do our best and do our part to both restore the buildings, preserve them, bring new life to these buildings, bring new people into the city, and be responsible to them in keeping them here, mm-hmm. keeping them happy.
Stuart, this project, the McCree House, mm-hmm. this is not fancy, flashy. It's not conventionally big. Why did you choose to recognize it for 2025's Most Enhanced?
So our committee uses a number of different metrics. Sometimes it's adherence to historic state and federal historic standards. Sometimes that's one of the criteria. Size, community impact. There are a number of different factors. And the McCree House fell in this really interesting category because it is a small house. But one of the things that we really like with Most Enhanced and one of the things we want to celebrate are when people go the extra mile, when they think beyond the bottom line and the spreadsheet and the dictates of capitalism. That's the whole point of historic preservation. Yeah, we could knock down all of our old buildings and put up a bunch of 5-over-1, you know, ugly modern construction that is incredibly cheap and lasts 25 years. But then, you know, we'd be Indianapolis. Like, without our buildings, without our historic built environment, we're nothing. We have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so historic preservation is all about taking that care for the humans that will use and interact with that building, be they homeowners, tenants, guests, attendees to the symphony, people that want a plate of pancakes at 10 p.m. You know, it's historic preservation is a way of showing care and attention and love to your community and the humans in your community.
Mm-hmm. We have Jerry, who is calling from South St. Louis, to join the conversation. Jerry, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you. Along with Tony West, my friend, we produced a movie that's won awards nationally and internationally in film festivals. And the movie is entitled The Black History Tour of St. Louis. Now, fortunately, I mean, I had given 400 people 20 bus tours of St. Louis, and people suggested that a movie needed to be made because I was getting old and forgetful and this history might go down the tubes. Fortunately, we got the movie done 5 months before the tornado came.
Mm.
So as a new resident of St. Louis, the director of the Landmarks Foundation, probably needs to see our movie because there's things in our movie that don't exist in St. Louis anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would suggest that an important aspect of understanding St. Louis landmarks and architecture, and I've lived here for 85 years, our movie would contribute a whole lot to that consideration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jerry, thank you. I mean, what Jerry is talking about as far as the homes, the structures that are captured in things like films and what they show of what once existed and what is no longer there. And this most enhanced list, Stuart, how do these things sort of play together? You know, what is your response to Jerry?
So I will absolutely watch the movie. And I think this is something that's come up a lot within historic preservation is through the problems of structural racism and strategic disinvestment, we are routinely depriving African Americans of their cultural history, of their cultural heritage. We're looking at the demolition of Club Imperial up in Walnut Park. We're looking at demolition by neglect of ABC Auto Sales on Page Avenue. And these buildings are gorgeous. They're economically very difficult to rehab right now, and we're sort of stuck in the city, and developers and everyone are kind of stuck dealing with these really complicated legacy issues. And we do have this problem where we just keep demolishing buildings by neglect or affirmatively in North St. Louis that contribute to a sense of history in North St. Louis. And if you don't have a sense of place, you no longer have a community.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that we've been working on with Landmarks over many years, and we continue to work on it, is figuring out how we can preserve more of North St. Louis, how we can make more, we can do more to preserve North St. Louis. And we do have a couple of Northside projects this year. We've had a couple of Northside projects every year. We have one up on Warren Avenue that was done by Habitat for Humanity that's phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. And that's unusual because this is the first Habitat for Humanity home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Another notable project comes from another part of this region, and that is East St. Louis.
Right.
There's a former historic hotel that is now called the New Broadview, and it is a senior living facility. It had its grand opening last year after undergoing a $44 million renovation. Its developer, Yafet El Amin, she spoke yesterday with our producer, Danny Wisentowski, about what's happened since the New Broadview opened last March.
At that time, we had maybe 20 residents that had already come to make the New Broadview its home. Now we have more than 100 residents in our facility. It's been beautiful to hear stories of how far they've come to come here back into East St. Louis. So it's been great to hear of their stories, the desire to be here. Our oldest resident, Laverne Stewart, is 93. Her first job was at the Broadview Hotel. And she tells the story of telling her husband, because she was a homemaker at the time, that she was going to get a job. And he said, no, you're not going to get a job. And she said, yes, I'm going to get a job. And she came down to the Broadview Hotel, and it was her first job. Now, she has one of the most beautiful two-bedroom apartments in the whole building.
And that was Yafet El Amin, who is the developer of the New Broadview, which is a senior living facility in East St. Louis. It's among the Landmarks Association of East St. Louis's honorees for Most Enhanced Awards. This is an example of a building that was certainly more than a structure. You can hear it in Yafet's voice. What stands out to you about this project, Stuart?
Actually, before we get into that, Laverne actually came to the Most Enhanced Awards last Thursday. It was amazing.
Oh.
And getting to meet Yafet El Amin in person was like meeting a superhero. I don't know how she does what she does. So the New Broadview, it's huge. I encourage everybody to look up photos of the New Broadview. It is a massive, massive, massive structure. And if you look at the before and after photos, they put in a truly tremendous amount of work. And it took them years and administrative wrangling. And it took this just incredible amount of cooperation between federal agencies, state agencies, historic tax credits, low-income tax credits, and this really, really just strong team of developers. And I think it took them 8 years to do this project. And it's really transformative. It's transformative for East St. Louis. It's providing a huge amount of senior housing. It is located one block from the Metrolink station. So you have immediate, you actually probably have easier access from the new Broadview to St. Louis than you do from Chesterfield or St. Charles or anywhere else, Webster Groves even. And so it's this tremendous new chapter for East St. Louis and a chapter for the metro region as a whole. And it shows what's possible. If someone says, oh, it's too far gone, oh, it's too big, you can't do it, I'll direct him to Yafet El Amin. She's able to do it.
Mm-hmm. Max, in our final moments, I want to make sure that I get some understanding of what it has meant for you to have your work recognized, not only for the McCree House, which you've talked about, but for Noteworthy Cafe as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Noteworthy Cafe, you know, I think at large, it's great that the Landmarks Association is recognizing both Powell Symphony Hall and Uncle Bill's and Broadview, which are doing amazing large-scale work, but also the small projects of McCree and Noteworthy, which are labors of love by St. Louisans and people on an everyday basis. I mean, Joe and Morgan, who own Jackson Pianos and also now have Noteworthy Cafe, really poured their time and money and energy into this now wonderful space to go. And it's a nice community outreach sort of project, and you can go and have some coffee and stretch and do some yoga and listen to some piano. Mm-hmm. So, in an old gas station / car wash that had been sitting vacant for a while, and now, and they restored not just the building but the landscape. So there's a lot of layers and levels to this kind of conversation.
Mm-hmm. Stuart, the last minute, what is it that is most exciting to you about what is coming in the future with Landmarks?
Oh, wow. So we've got a lot of projects coming up in the future. I'm really excited to branch out a bit and start engaging younger people that are really interested in rehabs. We have a huge mismatch in St. Louis. We have all these this beautiful old housing stock. We need people that are committed to rehabbing these buildings correctly, showing them love, inhabiting them, making homes for other people. And I'm really excited to work on that as a community organizing project to redevelop a Rehabbers Club of St. Louis. And really, there's a lot of energy here. There's a lot of momentum. We have so much potential here, and I'm really excited to tell that story and facilitate that.
Mm-hmm. And as people look at these buildings that are the most enhanced, what do you want them to really remember as they're looking at those photos?
I want them to remember that those buildings started like many other buildings in St. Louis. Someone looked at that, someone neglected it for years, and someone else saw it and said, I can do this, I can work with this, I can love this building.
Stuart Keating is the executive director of the Landmarks Association of St. Louis, and Max Bemberg is an architect in St. Louis and an honoree this year. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you,
Elaine.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.